Hey friend, Dana Gresh here. It's time to take the Holy Girl Walk again. Let's make it easier to meditate on and memorize the Bible. The secret, of course, is walking. The back and forth movement of your legs fires up the memory muscle in your brain. If you walk with me for the next 28 days, you'll have a whole chapter of the Bible memorized. In this, the second season of the Holy Girl Walk, we're going to discover we were made to flourish as we take to heart Psalm 92. Okay, let's go. We're going to add one last memory verse to our memory work, and then we'll be back where we began, at the thesis of Psalm 92, where we're told that the righteous flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Let's dig into Psalm 92:11, which says, "My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants." This verse raises some really important questions, like why this news is included in a psalm about flourishing and what it means for us as New Testament believers. Let's explore why God allows us to witness the downfall of enemies, how we should respond to that, and how the New Testament reframes the way we view our enemies. First, why does Psalm 92 include the news about enemies falling? Well, the psalmist here is rejoicing not just over personal victories, but over God's justice being done. This psalm is about the flourishing of the righteous, and part of that flourishing is seeing that evil doesn't ultimately win. The psalmist praises God for the way he scatters the wicked and brings justice, reminding us that no matter how powerful our enemies seem, they don't have the last word. This is a picture of God's justice being realized in real time, affirming the promise that righteousness will prevail. I was thinking about the high-profile example of justice being served in the case of Bernie Madoff. Madoff orchestrated the largest Ponzi scheme in history, defrauding thousands of investors out of billions of dollars. For decades, Madoff lived in luxury while destroying the financial lives of countless individuals and organizations. The story feels pretty unemotional until you meet a victim. Let me introduce you to Eli Wiesel, a Holocaust survivor and Nobel Peace Prize winner. Wiesel and his foundation, the Elie Wiesel Foundation for Humanity, were deeply affected by Madoff's fraud. Wiesel had invested both his personal savings and the foundation's funds with Madoff, trusting him as a friend and financial advisor. When Madoff's scheme was exposed, Wiesel lost everything: his life savings and the majority of the foundation's assets. In interviews, Wiesel expressed his devastation and betrayal, stating, "We thought he was God. We trusted everything in his hands." The collapse of the Madoff scheme not only ruined Wiesel financially, but deeply wounded him emotionally, as he had dedicated his life to humanitarian efforts. The loss to the foundation was around $15.2 million, severely impacting its work. There is always a deep personal cost of evil. Though Madoff's actions caused immeasurable harm, his eventual exposure and punishment showed that justice will come even after years of deception and betrayal. Wiesel's grace and resilience, even in the face of such betrayal, demonstrate how a person of faith can continue to seek good despite the evil they encounter. Psalm 92 speaks of the fact that it is good for evil people to face justice. But I do wonder, how does a flourishing New Testament girl respond to the downfall of an enemy? This is where things get a little more complex. In the Old Testament, we often see rejoicing when enemies fall, but the New Testament brings a new perspective. Jesus calls us to a radically different way of living. In Matthew 5:44, he says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And in Romans 12:20, Paul writes, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him something to drink." In the New Testament, we are called to show grace and mercy even to those who oppose us. So while it's natural to feel relief when an enemy is no longer causing harm, our response should be one of humility, prayer, and even compassion for the person who has hurt someone, even if that someone is you or someone you love. Now, why this shift between the Old and New Testaments? Well, the Old Testament law often dealt with justice in the here and now. God's people were a nation, and defending that nation involved defeating enemies. But in the New Testament, Jesus introduces the concept of a different kind of kingdom, a spiritual one. As I mentioned a few episodes ago, the battle isn't just against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world. Our enemies aren't just people. They're spiritual forces of evil. And our victory comes through love, mercy, and forgiveness because we know that God's ultimate justice will come at the end of time. Bernie Madoff didn't just have victims. He was one. For that, we can be sad and even have compassion, even as we support the justice that was done. So, what's the godly response when we witness the downfall of an enemy, a coworker that gossips about us, or a business partner that did us wrong, or a friend at church who slandered us? Well, a New Testament girl is called to respond with a heart that reflects Jesus. Yes, we can feel a sense of peace and relief when someone's destructive influence is removed or called to account, but we don't gloat or rejoice over their suffering. Instead, we're called to humility, recognizing that we too are sinners saved by grace, and we pray for them, asking God to work in their hearts and bring redemption just as he's done for us. In this life, we will face opposition, but Psalm 92 reminds us that God is just and his justice will prevail. Our response as women walking in the grace of the New Testament is to walk in love even towards those who oppose us. We can trust that God will deal with all things in his perfect timing while we focus on flourishing in his love and extending that love to others. Okay, get out there and memorize your last verse in Psalm 92. As we come to the end of our Holy Girl Walk, consider getting a copy of the study guide. Now, I know you're almost done memorizing, but you could go even deeper into this passage in the weeks to come as you really study what these words mean. For this, the second season, Made to Flourish, a 28-day Bible memory guide to Psalm 92 is available exclusively at my websites, danagresh.com or mytruegirl.com. The memory guide contains a brief Bible study and a daily Bible reading plan using other passages of Scripture that complement the truth we learn in Psalm 92. Again, you'll find that at danagresh.com and mytruegirl.com. Happy walking, friends.